myself to the person that keeps my word. In fact, it is not the lip service. It is not the lip service, I love you, that counts. How many know everybody on Sunday morning say, oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus, because he first loved me. They mind ain't a bit more on Jesus. They mind ain't nowhere on Jesus. They thinking about fishing. They thinking about hunting. They thinking about the football game. This, you know, the Saints gonna be on at 1 o'clock. Who pastor don't take us into the first quarter? I wanted to see the player introductions. What are you gonna get out of that? Jesus said, he said, if you love me. Now, we're giving you Jesus' definition of love. He said, if you want to show your love for me, obey me. That's how I know you love me, by your obedience. It ain't by that, oh, how I love Jesus. That don't tell him nothing. He going to look at how you live and how much desire you have to do what he wants you to do. And that's how he determines your love. Every time I tell the Lord, I'm going to say most of the time, when I say, Jesus, I love you, I check myself. Have I been doing the word? Have I been walking in obedience? And if I haven't been doing good, I say, Jesus, I ain't been loving on you much. Help me. I got to get back. See, sometimes you lose your first love. See, this is what Jesus talking about, that church. They doing all these good things. I mean, they had it going on. You read Revelation chapter 3. They had it going on. He said, but I got one thing against you. You left your first love. You're not on fire for me like you used to be. You're doing, you got the programs, you got everything. But you don't love me like you used to love me. You used to stay up and read your Bible. You used to get up and pray when I told you. Now you tell me to wait till in the morning. Look at verse 23. Jesus answered, said to him, he want to know, he said, how you going to show yourself to us and not to the world? Jesus answered, said to him, if a man love me, he said, if a man love me, he will keep my words, and my Father will love him, and we will come unto him and make our abode with him. In other words, he said, when you start walking in perfected love, Jesus said, me and the Father, we come live with you. We come in to make our abode. We're coming to abide wherever you at. We're going to be with you wherever you at. If you show your love, you know, we got that thing. Everybody show your love for something. I'm going to tell you, if you show your love for Jesus, he come and stay. Yes. And when he's there, now he's going to be showing you what to do, how to do it. He'll be there when somebody shoot one of them fiery darts at you. He's there telling you how to handle that thing so that your love is perfected, so that your love is complete, so there's nothing missing in your love walk. Hallelujah. How many of y'all see that? The first key is doing what? Obeying the word. Keeping that word. Having a desire to obey God. Everybody say obedience. Shout it out. Obedience. That's one of the keys. I just gave you a scripture that told you that's how you perfect the loved one.
You have been listening to Living by the Word with your host, Greg Tejada, pastor of the Word Christian Center. I trust that you've received the Word of God that will change your life and make you strong. This message is available for a gift of $5 postage paid. If you would like a copy of today's message, call us at 318-442-8100. That's 318-442-8100. Or write us at P.O. Box 13195, Alexandria, Louisiana 71315. We invite you to join us every Sunday morning at 10 a.m. and Wednesday night at 7 p.m. for worship services. We're located at 4701 Lee Street in Alexandria, Louisiana, just 2 blocks off MacArthur Drive. Until next time, may God richly bless you.
K-A-A-M. W-A-Y-T, 88.1 FM. 70,000 watts of gospel power. Power beaming on the Blue Mountains of Mississippi and the flat plains of West Texas and the beaches and bayous of Louisiana. K-A-Y-T, 88.1 FM.
Jesus. Welcome to the Movement of Christ Worldwide Ministries Broadcast, brought to you by the Greater King David Baptist Church, pastored by Dr. John E. Montgomery II, one church ministering in two locations, 222 Blood Road and 7305 Harry Drive, Baton Rouge, Louisiana. Thank you for your prayers and support of the ministry. Let us now join the broadcast already in progress.
Hope for all I do.
When you are clothed in the righteousness of Jesus Christ with the purity of Him on you, and the devil reminds you of your past, it's something supernatural about you that reminds the devil of his future. Somebody didn't get that. While the devil is trying to dig up your past, you're reminding the devil about what he's getting ready to go to in the future. And it's because of these white raiments you wear, the purity and righteousness of Jesus Christ, that you now assume that it is Jesus who's going to take care of the business in the end. When you put on the righteousness of Jesus Christ, you remind the devil every day of his future. Devil thought he had you. How many in the house knew the devil thought he had you? Some of you he had longer than he had others of you. But God, who has delivered all of us, are witnesses to say that if it hadn't been for Jesus, who was on our side, we would not be here today. And so every now and then, even when you slip, even when you fall, even when you backslide, and that's not to give you permission, but because you're still in the presence of sin and many times faced with the influences of sin, the flesh gets weak. God reminds you, you need to put on your white raiment. Ever notice when you put on white, you're careful where you sit? Don't you notice when you put on white, you're careful who brushes up against you? Lord, I wish I had a witness in that. Ever notice when you put on white, you're just a little more careful about how you eat? Covering up, you know, napkin draped across you. I mean, when you put on white, it just reminds you that you need to be cautious and careful so you don't get nothing on. Because the difference between white and other colors is, no matter if it's a speck, it shows up on white. That's why some folk don't like to put on white, because you got to be too clean. You'll catch that on your way home. I just don't like white. I just get dirty too quick. Maybe if you were a little more careful. Lord, I wish I had a witness. I've seen folk wear white from morning to night, and it looks like it looked when they put it on that night because they were careful about everything they did that day. And when you put on the robe of righteousness, that white raiment, you're careful about what you say. When you put on that white raiment, you're careful about where you go. When you put on that white raiment, you're careful what you text. When you put on that white raiment, you're careful about the calls you make. When you put on the white raiment, you're careful about who you're friendly with. Lord, I wish I had a witness. I can keep on going, but I think you get the picture. When you put on the white raiment, it reminds you that you're pure and holy. Touch somebody and tell them, I wish you had your white on today. Woo! Thank you, Jesus. Listen. But then he says, listen. And conjunction, which ties together when you're there, don't forget. Anoint thine eyes with eye salve, that thou mayest see. Eye salve, that thou mayest see. You say, well, I see pretty good right now, Pastor. Yeah, but that's your problem. You see the wrong things. I want you, Jesus is literally saying, to see in the spirit realm. I want you to see with 20/20 vision in the spirit realm. I want you to get to the place where you're not moved in the natural by the vision of stuff you see here on earth, but know by seeing in the spirit realm how things are going to end up, because I've given you a vision, I've shown you, I've revealed to you, I've given you clear understanding about the things that are spiritual. Listen to this, brothers and sisters, because here's where so many of us miss it. The Lord wants you, and I need you to see that this is a participatory reality. Look at what he says again. He says, and anoint thine eyes with eye salve. In other words, when you really get ready to see. See, because truth be told, everybody isn't really ready to see. And you don't really put eye salve on until you're ready to see. And that literally means to go in the spirit realm and get it where it's real at, untarnished and untainted, uncontaminated, pure like it is in the spirit realm. You've got to be ready to want to see what God wants to show you. And everybody is not ready to see it. Because when you see it, it changes you. When you see it, it rearranges you. When you see it, you know it and you can't unknow it. When you see it, it is as real as it will be manifested in the earth realm. You just get a preview of what is to come. And that's where the devil can't fool you at. Most mistakes we make is because we made mistakes with looking and not having our eyes salve on. I can promise you, you won't make another mistake if before you make that mistake, you put some eyes salve on and say, God, I want to see, is this right for me? I mean, you need to know God is going to give you that kind of revelation, that kind of understanding, because literally it means for us to have the enlightenment by the Holy Spirit upon the Word of God. The Word of God is the wisdom of God. The Word of God is able and capable of giving us the ability to move and to flow in, out, and through every situation of life with the direction from the divine. It is the ability for God to show you how to make the next move without making a mistake. It's the ability of the Holy Ghost to give you clarity so that you are able to see without there being any interruptions or anything that will cause you to be unable to recognize what God has revealed to you. It is the Holy Ghost's job to give you discernment, to give you understanding, to give you enlightenment. And so here is literally what it's saying. You've got to, when you get ready to see, gonna need the Holy Ghost. That's the bottom line, because it is the Holy Ghost's job to show you. The Holy Ghost's job to cause you to see. That's why you can be in church and still can't see. You need the Holy Ghost. After that, he has come upon you, you're going to get some power. Ye shall receive power. Power to do what? Whatever you need to do. But that comes after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you. And so this I salve literally means to have the Holy Ghost's ability to enlighten you, to give you revelation, disclosure about the Word of God, so that you'll know how to operate, walk in, walk through traps that's been set for you. Know and understand how to maneuver any situation. Be knocked down and get back up again stronger than you were when you were knocked down. To be able to look the enemy in the eye and say, when it's all over, I'll be the last one standing. And know that you're standing not in and of yourself, but of the power of Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit, who makes it so real and clear to you that as you are in Him, the power of the Lord is in you, and greater is He that is in you than he that is in the world. Listen, I'm not through yet. Listen to what the Word says. It says again that thou mayest. See, now I wouldn't have said mayest if everybody could see who was saved. So just because you're saved don't mean you can see. It's another level to it. And so when you have that eye salve, when you have the anointing of the Holy Spirit upon your life, when you are baptized with the Holy Ghost, when you have the revelation of the Holy Ghost, you have the purest, clearest vision of things yet to come and the understanding, as fruitful as God would have you know, everything that concerns your life through this eye salve. But he doesn't stop, because he goes on, and I love verse 19. He says, as many as I love. As many as I love. Listen to this. As many as belong to me. God loves what belongs to Him. Listen to this. It is because of His love, who desires the best for you, who wants nothing but the best for you, who desires that you be not in any situation when it is all said and done, but that will profit you and bring you to new levels. He says, it's because I love you that I won't let you have your own way. Now that's some rich love. Because so many of us, and my brothers and sisters, I think you will agree with me, that sometimes when you love so hard and you love so strong, you don't want to do anything to upset the person you love, because you might not be as secure in their love as you are for loving them. And so as a result of them, you don't do things to rebuke them when you know you ought to rebuke them. Because if they're wrong, they're wrong. If they're right, they're right. But when they're wrong, you got to love them enough to say, baby. Now, you might say it in a sweet way, but no matter how you say it, you've got to say, you're wrong. And when you love somebody, you say that to them, because here's the thing. If you love them enough to tell them the truth, they shall know the truth, and the truth shall make them free. But if you never tell them the truth, they will be bound by the enemy, and ultimately it's going to destroy whatever it is you think you've got anyhow. That's why parents who love their children chasten. The old folks say chastise. Whoop. Not whip. Yeah. Somebody has got a whooping before. When you get a whooping, it ain't necessarily with a belt. It's whatever they find to put their hands on. And sometimes it's the hand itself. It don't matter. Now, you know we've got laws in our days and our times right now, but listen at this. That's one of the reasons why we've got a Generation X and worse now. There are those advocates who say, no, don't whip them. Give them time out. I got news for you. The Bible says, spare the rod, spoil the child. And if you don't put something on them, they will be in a whole lot of time out. The police will pick them up at your house and bring them to time out. And you'll go visiting them in the place of time out. And they'll be saying, Mama, Daddy, I don't want to be here. It's time out for me. No, my brother, my sister, I need you to understand God's way is the right way. And when you love somebody enough, you tell them the truth. I never understood till I got grown. Had children of my own. How mama used to say, it hurts me more than it hurts you. Because I'd look at it with my big brown eyes, hoping that would persuade her not to whip me. She just closed her eyes and grabbed me and beat me till it hurt her. She'd be all the next day, all her chest hurting, her arms hurting. She done got her big old son at 12 years old taller than her and then whipped her till she hurts more. But she meant underneath the skin, it hurted her heart. And you know boys are something, and that's one of the reasons why they need fathers and men figures. You know, you get to a little age and you're a little taller than mama, you act like you can take, you gonna stand up. You ain't gonna let tear cry fall before her face. Try and take it a little bit, but sooner or later, you break down. Oh, I got news for you. When mama, daddy loves you enough not to let you have your own way, when your own way is destructive to you and those who love you, that's tough love. That's real love. Parents, don't let nobody stop you from correcting your children the right way. Because they won't be there late in the midnight hours when they're sick. They won't be there late in the midnight hours when trouble is in your home. They won't be there when you need somebody to go there bail. They won't be there when you got to go down to the schoolhouse and take off time from your job to see about little Johnny doing this. They won't be there. Don't let nobody else stop you from correcting the child that you love when you know you're trying to guide them in the right direction. Listen at this, and don't nobody write me, call me for you on television about telling you what thus said the Lord. If you want your child to grow up right, do it like the Bible says, do it. Listen, if you will, and I'm closing. Bible says, as many as I love. He doesn't do it to everybody. You need to know that. That's why you wonder, how she get away with it? And I can't do but one little bitty thing. And he's all over me, keeping me alive. I wish I had a witness in the house. They can do anything they want to do and just seem like nothing ever happens to them. He said, as many as I love. What do you do? Well, let's see right here. He says, I rebuke and chasten. I rebuke and I chasten. Well, what are you talking about? First of all, he's literally saying, I discipline and instruct. He convicts them of their sin, and then he convinces them that the sinful way is not the way. So he doesn't just whip them or whoop them, but he disciplines them. And there is an important lesson to learn about discipline, because it's not just about hitting. It's hitting with a purpose. And the purpose is also coupled with instructing them on why you're whipping them, and how they could change the situation where they won't get whipped no more if they obey the rules. And so it's discipline and instruction. And this is important, because when you understand that, it's real, because God doesn't just chastise you, discipline you for no purpose. It is so that you can get better. You can become better. You can do better, because he loves you and wants the best for you. And he instructs you on what to do and in what not to do. But notice what he goes on to say. He says, be zealous. Listen. Therefore. What does he mean? He means be enthusiastic, earnest, sincere, burning with fire. Listen to this. Having passion. You ought to have the kind of zeal for the Lord where you are not just satisfied with settling, but the passion to be what God wants you to be, do what God wants you to do. You're excited and enthused about what he's making and developing out of you, how he's showing you how you are changing, and he's rearranging things in your life to bring out the best in you. You're excited. Yeah, you cry. Yeah, it hurts. But then you see the love as you mature. Why God does what he does. Why he doesn't let you get away. Because if you get away with this, you'll want to get away with that. And if you get away with that, you're going to want to get away with more. And before you know it, you'll think you live a life of get-overs. And God doesn't want you to live like that. God wants you to have the best that he has for you. And so then you become enthusiastic about what the Lord is desirous of delivering into your life. Listen to this, and I'm closing. He says, and repent. Change your mind and change your attitude. Because when you repent, you change your way of thinking. When you change your way of thinking, you then change your attitude. I promise you, no matter what you've got an attitude about right now, just change your attitude by changing the way you think. The way you think will change your attitude about whatever your attitude is right now that has not changed, because your mind has not changed. It's simple to understand this. If you feel one way about this person today, it's because of your thought processes. But change what you feel in your thought processes, and you will no longer have the attitude you have with that person. There are some things about the way you live right now. You've got an attitude with God about. You've got an attitude with man about. You've got an attitude about your position, your station in life. I've got news for you. Change your way of thinking. And say, thy will be done. And it'll change your attitude. The supreme case of this is Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane. Praying, oh my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Then he says, in the transitional word, nevertheless, not as I will, but as thou will. And listen at this. He prayed when he went into the garden with a heavy heart, sorrowful, even unto death. But when he had prayed and when he changed,